What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of the CUSA Insider Podcast, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, filling in for Sarah Rudolph, the birthday girl. Be sure to wish her a happy birthday if you know how to get in contact with her. But filling in for another great episode today. We'll be talking a little baseball, softball, finishing up some other sports on our spring slate. And we've got an interview with Joe Castellano from CBS Sports Network. He's called our Conference USA softball championship game for the last 4 years. He's back again. He'll be in Bowling Green at the end of this week, calling Saturday's game. But first off, just a little housekeeping. Thank you for finding us, whether you're listening wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts on Spotify or Amazon, Apple Music, anything like that. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, thank you for finding us there as well. And you can also follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod. But let's get right into it. I'm joined by Eric Jones, our Associate Director of Communications, back again to help me kind of fill in on some sports here and talk a little baseball, softball. Eric, how you doing?
Doing well. Excited to be back on here. And man, we're so close to finishing up these last stretches for our softball and baseball season. So super exciting times.
Yeah. Yes. Very exciting. But like I said, we're kind of finishing up a couple more sports on our spring slate. Women's golf regionals wrap up on Wednesday, tomorrow, once you're listening to this episode. So WKU, New Mexico State's Emma Bunch will be at the Lexington Regional. Sam Houston's Grace Jin and Amelia Goh are out at the Norman Regional. So just a reminder, the top five teams and the low individual not on an advancing team are the ones that'll qualify for Nationals. And Nationals will be May 16th to the 21st at the Omni La Costa Resort and Spa in Carlsbad, California. Wouldn't be a bad spot to spend a few days.
Not at all.
So best of luck to our women at their regionals, hoping that we get some that punch their tickets to Carlsbad. On the men's side, we found out last week in the selection show, we got two teams and five individuals going to the tournament. That's incredible. So we got both Sam Houston and New Mexico State, who made the field as 11 seeds in their respective regionals. Also had, again, five individuals qualifying. Those will begin Monday, May 12th. So I think we'll miss kind of previewing those next week when we do an episode. But yeah, regionals May 12th to the 14th. Bearcats, along with UTEP's Max Schleesing and Dylan Teeter, will be in Reno, Nevada for that regional. New Mexico State will be joining Kennesaw's Clace Beauregard in the Auburn Regional, and then Liberty's Ike Joy will be in Amherst, and La Tech's Nilo Mackey Pattaya will be in the Tallahassee Regional. So shout out to all those guys who will be participating in postseason play, hoping that they can also punch their tickets to Carlsbad for the men's championship. But all right, let's get into it. Our diamond discourse, as I'm now trying to make it stick. We'll begin with a little bit of baseball. So I know we had some crazy baseball this weekend, and we were both baseball and softball had a lot of weather issues this weekend. Oh, so trying to navigate that was kind of messy.
Yeah. Shout out to all the schools that hosted a series this weekend, because it couldn't have been easy. Mother Nature was doing her part, and we were just trying to get our games in. So fortunately enough, we got majority of games in this weekend on the baseball side. And I would say personally, this is probably one of the wilder weekends I've seen, just results wise. But sitting there, we got DBU at the top now, 16-5 in league play. Kennesaw right behind them. Kennesaw State's 14-6. They were only able to play two games this weekend, but got a doubleheader sweep yesterday against New Mexico State. And then WKU, a huge bounce back week this week. Swept Louisiana Tech at home, and they are just they've been unbeatable at home this year. I mean, almost unbeatable. 29-1. It's the most home wins by a WKU team ever in their program history. So super exciting weekend this weekend. You know, we have DBU. They've won, you know, 12 of the last 13 games in conference play, and that kind of dates back to when they got taken out of the rankings. And they, I mean, I know they've had a little bit of injury bug and trying to figure out that pitching staff a little bit. But these guys are playing really good ball right now. Keaton Grady at the top of the lineup, he's been, you know, the spark plug maybe they needed at the top. And, no, they're playing great baseball right now. And we actually get to see them host Kennesaw State this weekend, and a Kennesaw State team that maybe we didn't see them, you know, at this high up in the standings at this late in the year, earlier on this year. So, should be a super exciting series this weekend. you know, Kennesaw State's also won 10 of their last 11 conference games.
Wow.
So, I mean, just kind of quietly.
Something's got to give, right?
Yeah, something's got to give this week. Kennesaw State's up to 53 in the RPI. You know, that we have DBU in the top 20. I think WKU's around 45 or so. And, yeah, Kennesaw State's right there now in the RPI.
That's awesome.
You know, if they make some noise here at the end of the season, there's, you know, no telling what can happen. But, yeah, super exciting stuff this weekend. And it was you know, I was able to kind of keep up with their, I guess, game one against New Mexico State this weekend, mm-hmm. where I think they're down 7-5 heading into the ninth. New Mexico State puts up a two spot in the top half of the ninth, go up 9-5. And here comes Kennesaw State with a 6-run ninth and capped off by a 3-run shot by Nate Anderson. So, you know, these guys, they're not losing right now. And yeah. That's, you know, you got, they have a good thing going for them. So, yeah. But super excited to see how this weekend goes. You know,
yeah, and it feels like, I mean, on the, you know, softball side, we saw it plenty, and I'm sure we're really starting to see it on the baseball side as we get towards the finish line here. Is there's definitely not one team that is, like, you know, way better than the rest, right? And everyone, it seems like for every punch they've taken, they've come back and punched someone twice as hard. You know, we saw it with WKU with that huge bounce back this weekend.
Yeah.
I feel like you continue to see it where a team gets swept and then they sweep, or they get, you know, they lose the series they shouldn't, you know, and then they turn around, and then, yeah, it's just the kind of the waves that we're seeing between these teams is pretty wild.
Yeah, and that kind of leads me into my next, you know, series to talk about this weekend with Liberty and Sam Houston. A Liberty team that's been reeling in conference play, has had some really good midweek wins on their resume against ACC opponents, but just have not been able to, like, get past that point in conference play. And, you know, they go into Huntsville, Texas this weekend and, you know, maybe get their mojo back a little bit, and then they get swept by a Bearcats team that's, you know, down this year. So, you know, now Sam Houston's back in the talks of, you know, gaining a berth to the Conference USA Baseball Championship. And, you know, that 8-9-10 spot is separated by two games right now. So there's still a lot to play out. Only three teams have clinched a spot in Lynchburg here in a couple weeks. So yeah, there's a lot to play out still, and it's going to be super fun.
Yeah. So remind me how many more series we have for conference play?
We have two series left, six games left for each of our teams.
Okay, man. So like you said, a lot to be decided, even though it's only six games. So just because of the way it's jumbled there right now. But all right. So switching over to softball, I feel like we had probably an equally as weird weekend. You know, had our finale, our regular season finale this past weekend. We'll start with one. Sam Houston, La Tech. Let's set the stage a little bit. So in danger of dropping out of the field with a loss, Sam Houston needed a win against La Tech to stave off Middle Tennessee in a potential tiebreaker. La Tech pitcher is throwing a perfect game up until the seventh inning. She's going into the seventh inning with a perfect game. Bearcats lead off the seventh with back-to-back doubles. So boom. Perfect game, no hitter, shutout, done. One foul swoop, right? Man. Still down 2-1. Jenny Robson with the second double. She ends up coming around to score the tying runs. We go to extras. Second time in the series. They had gone to extras in game two as well. La Tech had come out on top in that one. But they go to extras again. Sam Houston walks the second batter up for the Bearcats, walk it off with a solo home run to clinch the final spot in the tournament. So that was just a taste of our wild weekend. I didn't even have it written down here because it didn't really affect the seeding quite as much. New Mexico State went to the 13th or 14th inning against Kennesaw State to settle there. Again, it was a game that didn't really have any bearing on the seeding by the end of it. But, you know, it was just like, why not? Why not have a 14 inning game to wrap up the regular season? And then so with La Tech's series loss to the Bearcats, the number two seed was all up for grabs between Jack State and WKU, a huge series in Bowling Green. You know, we previewed it plenty when we talked to Julie Bolin last week. But let's set the stage again. So we go back to April 13th. WKU just lost a series to rival Middle Tennessee. They were 7-10 in league play, sitting in seventh place. So on the outside looking in for a tournament they're hosting, which we've talked about it plenty. Like, that's no fun. You don't want to be hosting a tournament that you're not even playing in. And we don't want that either, because it's definitely not a fun staff to work with when that happens. I'm fortunate I haven't had it happen since I've been here, but have seen it before. So they're in seventh place. Serious danger of missing the tournament. The Lady Toppers never lost a conference game again from that moment. They went 7-0-1 over their final three series. They just won two. They only end up playing two games there in Bowling Green. They took both from Jack State to grab the number two seed. And we'll talk about it more in our interview with Joe. But, I mean, just in the office today, we're recording this on Monday, so the day after the bracket came out, and everyone is just like, how is WKU the two seed? I don't know. I mean, I can tell you, I know because they had the second best win percentage, but I don't know how they got to this point because if you had asked me back on April 13th, I would have told you there's no way that I really didn't think they were going to make the tournament, much less be the number two seed. But shout out to Amy Tudor, an incredible head coach there in Bowling Green for really rallying the girls in the locker room and you know, making sure that they did not have any quit in them. They were able to kind of rattle off these three series victories to get this number two seed. Obviously, a huge opportunity in this tournament with that, you know, coming with a bye. Like I mentioned, we've got a great interview with Joe Castellano from CBS Sports Network, who, like I said, gets the opportunity to call our championship final on Saturday once again on CBS Sports Network at noon Central. But enjoy this interview with Joe previewing our 2025 softball tournament.
Joining us here today on CUSA Insider, we have Joe Castellano, the play-by-play extraordinaire for the past four seasons on our CUSA Softball Championship broadcast on CBS Sports Network. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to some fun softball in Bowling Green here in just a few days.
Me too. Thanks, Sarah and Josh. Really looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to working with you again. You've kind of, you know, we talked about it before we got on, like you've kind of seen the change of guard in Conference USA. You've seen this tournament play out a few times. How excited are you to be back and what are you looking forward to this week in Bowling Green?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, if we get a rematch of Western Kentucky and Liberty, that would be pretty good, you know, considering what happened last year. That game was wild for the championship, going extra innings, going to nine innings, a walk-off, some controversy with a hit-by-pitch and everything. We had a lot of fun last year, so I'm expecting that it's going to be a great tournament and championship game again.
Yeah, you mentioned WKU there, the two seed in this tournament, Liberty the one seed, really setting up for a rematch like you're talking about, but some surprise, I think, for a lot of people, WKU ending up in that two spot. There was a chance a couple of weeks ago that we weren't sure they were even going to make the six-team tournament. And they have just showed out and played some really good softball here down the stretch. Are you surprised that the Hilltoppers find themselves in the number two spot?
I am and I'm not. I am because they didn't start out so well. But I'm not too surprised because Amy Tudor is such a good coach. And she's been able to lead that team to glory before. I mean, remember when they had the tournament at Western Kentucky the last time they won, and they just seemed to always be in the running, and they were right there last year. So, you know, even though you lose players and it's a different group than it was a few years ago, same coach. And I mean, she just has an intensity about her. She loves the game and, you know, played, and it's just a great coach. So I'm not too surprised.
On a broadcast standpoint, you know, what's your approach? Because you guys are kind of swooping in right there at the end for the title game. So many potential championship matchups, you know, potential storylines, you know, one we've already talked about with a rematch of last year's title game. How do you stay prepared and get ready for that one game?
Well, yeah, really try to do a lot on Friday, you know, just watch the games and see how they transpire and get caught up on the storylines at that point more than anything. You know, it is a quick turnaround. I mean, it's a long day of trying to prepare for who is going to get there. You know, just try to follow it beforehand as much as possible and try to get to know ins and outs about the players. You know, we rely on the sports information directors a lot. They give us great information. And then we hope to talk to the head coaches and some of the players beforehand. So it all kind of comes together quickly when you're in a situation like this where you're just doing the championship. I mean, I've done it both ways where, you know, I've done the D2 baseball championship for the last 14 years. And when we're doing a baseball tournament like that and we're doing every game like I've done, that's different where, you know, you can really rely on all of the different information that you get throughout the tournament and everything that you've seen. And in this case, you know, you're just doing the championship. So you're really just trying to focus on those two teams when they get there. So it is kind of rushed. You know, you have a lot to do in a short amount of time.
Yeah, you've got a lot of softball to watch over the next couple of days for sure. So you mentioned that you've called the game for the last four seasons in a row. Josh was saying you've been through the realignment with CUSA, seen some old teams leave, some teams that were at the top of the softball standings in Conference USA for a long time, and some new teams come in. What has calling these games over this last couple of years, like how has that shaped your perspective of the like newly revamped Conference USA in softball?
I think anybody can win. I mean, that's the main ingredient for this conference is that, you know, you might have a favorite. You might think, okay, you got a number one and number two seed and everything, but that might not come to fruition. And even for Liberty, I mean, it wasn't easy for them last year. They lost early on, so they had to come back and keep winning to end up being the champs. So I just think it's not easy for anybody. There's parity, and, you know, it's fun because of that. It's not like there's one team that's definitely dominant and you know they're going to blow out the other team when they get to the championship.
Yeah, you're looking at the standings, like the way, I mean, it was kind of Liberty and everybody else sitting there. Like if you look at the standings right now, WKU 14-10-1, Jacksonville State 15-11, Louisiana Tech 15-12 in conference, New Mexico State 14-13, Sam Houston 14-13. I felt really bad for Josh yesterday having to figure out where the seedings lied and having to figure out all those tiebreaker scenarios. But you're right, there's a ton of parity in this league, but Liberty definitely kind of showing that they are the favorite going into this weekend. Dot Richardson, obviously a mainstay in college softball, in softball, the sport in general. What are you seeing out of this Liberty program that excites you right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just because she's such a pro, you know, she really knows how to get a team ready for this moment. You know, I mean, they're not nervous about it, I think, because of her. I mean, she played in the Olympics. You know, she was a great player, one of the best softball players in the history of you know, Olympic softball and in the country. And then, you know, she just knows all the ins and outs too, because she was a broadcaster. So she's great for us. You know, she really knows how to talk about the game and motivate her players. And I first met her in Athens at the Olympics in 2004, and I was already impressed with her by that point. So when I got to see her again last year for the championship, you know, it didn't surprise me at all what she's been able to build in a short amount of time, really, at Liberty.
We've talked about the teams there at the top, you know, some of the top contenders going into the week. Who are some other teams and maybe even some other players that you're really excited to potentially watch on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I really haven't had a chance to see the players yet. I'm, you know, this tournament is really going to be the first time I get to see some of the newer players in the tournament. But I could just tell you that the athleticism is really pretty amazing. I remember a couple of years ago, we had a catch at the center field fence that still sticks in my mind. Like, you know, you don't expect it. You don't know that somebody's going to jump up at the fence and make an amazing catch like that. So I think it's pretty well spread out. I don't know that there's one school that I'm looking at. I mean, it's going to be really hard to beat Liberty, though. I think, you know, they're heavily favored to get to that championship, but somebody is going to give them a run for their money, I think, when they get to the championship, just because of the way it is. You gain confidence as you go through the tournament, and, you know, when you get there, if you have the pitching, if you have one pitcher that can kind of dominate, that's really going to make a big difference, and if that pitcher isn't burned out by the time she gets to the championship.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest piece. And I know we talked to last week when we spoke with Julie Bolin, head coach of Jacksonville State. And there's a couple schools that fit this mold that have some really, really deep pitching staffs that could make, you know, they could do a lot of damage in a postseason environment. So that'll definitely be interesting to see. And if you haven't picked up on this already, Joe's kind of mentioned a few big moments at games that he's called. The excitement finds its way onto a Joe Castellano broadcast.
Yes.
When he's doing our title game. But so you've been, you know, you've had the luxury of not really having to, you know, fill a whole lot in a championship broadcast. But just as a professional broadcaster in general, how do you really approach it in that regard of keeping it, you know, keeping that broadcast fun and really elevating it when you're, you know, at that last game?
Yeah, well, a few things. I mean, I really think you have to do your homework so that you have a lot of information about the players so you can sprinkle that in throughout. And if it's not a tight game and you're really not talking about strategy as much, you'll be able to sort of get to know who the players are. And I think also it's incumbent upon the analyst, and this time I'm working with a new analyst and Kalen Arnold Elliott, who was a terrific pitcher at Tennessee and Florida State. it's going to really be fun to work with her for the first time. But I think she will provide that insight where you're teaching the audience about being in that position, because she's been in the circle before and knows what it takes to, you know, be a winning pitcher. She was terrific in college, and you know, just a strategy that is involved and what you have to do in facing these hitters. And even on the other side of it, from the offensive perspective, what they're going to need to do against certain pitchers, because that's where it all comes down to. And I think that that makes it a lot of fun, where you can just kind of learn about the game, even if it's not a tight game, and learn about the players as much as possible.
What is it about the sport of college softball that you think has kind of had a resurgence, I'm going to call it, over the past couple of years? Obviously, getting on to ESPN and like the big time games being on live television on CBS Sports Network, where people all over the country can watch them. But what is it about the game of college softball that is so exciting? Maybe for a viewer out there who hasn't watched a lot, like, why should they be tuning in to the Conference USA Softball Championship game this upcoming Saturday?
You're right. There has been a resurgence. It's interesting because it's kind of come back to where it was, because I did the Olympics in 2004 in Athens on the radio, and then I did the 2008 Beijing Olympics on television for NBC, and it was at an all-time high at that point, I think. I mean, there were so many great players, the Jenny Finches of the world, you know, that were playing at that time, Jessica Mendoza, and everybody was loving watching softball and those players coming from college to play in the Olympics. And then it tailed off because the Olympics didn't have softball anymore. So it kind of tailed off, but I think we're seeing a resurgence now. People are really getting into it. I think the ESPN coverage certainly helps. Hopefully our coverage on CBS Sports Network helps as well, and people get more interested. And, you know, anytime you have a situation where the team that wins goes to the NCAA tournament, you know, that's always exciting in any sport. You know, it doesn't really matter. So when you have that on the line and there's that much tension going on, I think that's one of the thrills of college sports in general, and especially, you know, for this tournament in softball.
I know you kind of mentioned, you know, the one catch that really stuck out to you from past tournaments you've called. Are there any other moments that have really jumped out to you that you've enjoyed calling as part of your Conference USA duties?
Yeah, I don't know if I enjoyed it, Josh, but last year there was a controversy going on with the hit by pitch and whether or not the hitter was leaning into it. And, you know, so it's tough because, you know, you're just not knowing exactly what the umpire is calling right there. At first, it looks like he's calling a foul ball. And then he's saying, wait a minute, no, it hit her on the elbow. And wait, we got to talk this over. And, you know, so that totally sticks in my mind. But just the fact that we went extra innings, there were all kinds of great plays in that one. If I remember right, I think there was a play at the plate, you know, that keeps it going. I love extra innings. A lot of people don't. They want the game to end. I want it to keep going. I mean, as long as I don't have a flight to catch, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah. Keep going. Yeah. It was just so great. I wouldn't mind seeing extra innings again this time. It was awesome.
I was going to say, it's 2 years running now. Cause yeah, the final in Ruston, I felt like it was kind of deja vu, right? We had, you know, I think we got to the 12th inning in that one. And yeah, there was a little drama as well. And
that's right. Yeah. That's right. I forgot we went 12.
I know they kind of blend together a little bit, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, yeah, it seems like that's just the way it's going to go. We're going to go extra innings no matter what. But, I mean, that's what happens when you have teams that are pretty evenly matched and the pitching is really good. And, you know, somebody's always going to stand out. And like we said, I mean, if a really good pitcher doesn't get tired earlier on, and that's where the head coaching comes in too. I mean, you know, I know it's not like baseball where you're really worried about a pitch count, but you also – you know, you really do have to kind of watch how your pitcher is reacting to pitching on consecutive days. And because that's what the thing about a tournament, you know, compared to the regular season. I mean, you're really playing a lot of innings here in a row.
You know, we talked a little bit here about some of the, you know, things that come up in a broadcast, you know, some of these storylines. Obviously, when there's exciting games, that helps too. What are some of the other storylines that you really like to highlight? Or, you know, if you hear about a certain thing, you're like, oh, yeah, I love, you know, getting to talk about this certain thing.
Yeah, well, especially, I mean, when a player comes back from an injury and, you know, like if you see a knee brace, I recall there was a player last year that, you know that player had to really work hard to get back. You know, those kind of stories where somebody has faced adversity, you know, most of the time through an injury. You know, I mean, some of these players have had, you know, multiple surgeries or how do you come back from, you know, an ACL on both knees? You know, you see that kind of stuff. I like that because, I mean, it just tells you how much somebody loves it, how much they're willing to work to get to that point. And, you know, it's going to help somebody later on in life because they work that hard. They know that it pays off in the end. And just the camaraderie too. I mean, that's the thing I really look forward to with a tournament like this. When we interview maybe two or three players, you can tell that they're best friends by this point because they've been together. And, you know, just the rooting for each other. It's really fun to watch it come together. And, you know, especially for somebody who's a senior and they've been in the program for a few years and they want to win so badly and get to the NCAA tournament. All of that together is really what I enjoy about it.
Yeah, I mean, the game is fun, right? But I love getting to tell and listen to the student athlete stories. Obviously, at this level, we really are all about the student athlete. That's what we're here for, is for them. It doesn't matter who wins or loses. I mean, on the conference side, we always win and we always lose. So it doesn't really matter who wins or loses, but we enjoy those student athlete stories. But one more note, just kind of on the softball side, that on the playing surface, I guess, as we go into this tournament, we spoke about Liberty. We talked about pitching and how important it is to make sure that your pitcher is on point for the championship game once you get to Saturday. One thing about Liberty is that they do have deep pitching. And so that's one thing that I'm going to be looking at heading into this weekend compared to some of our other schools who may have one standout star. Mm-hmm. Liberty has multiple. And so, but when you look at the bracket, Liberty has three conference losses this year. Two of them are to New Mexico. One of them is to New Mexico State and the other one is to Sam Houston, who both made the tournament. And so those are games you kind of start to look at and you're like, okay, can they catch them? I don't know.
They got them once. Like, they can they get them again? Yeah.
You got Desiree Spearman, who can put the whole team on her back and win a game there for New Mexico State. So I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I think it's going to be a good one, but can someone slay the Goliath of Liberty? We'll have to wait and see.
I know.
Yeah, and I think as a head coach, it is difficult because you're trying to figure out, you know, how long do I stay with a pitcher in this situation? And when you get to a championship, I mean, if you've been riding a pitcher all season, you know, you don't really want to pull that pitcher out, even if you have depth like Dot Richardson does. So those are the decisions that are very difficult to make. And it's fun for us to kind of look at it. And, you know, the whole thing is really fun because anybody who played any sports at any level, when you get to that point where you're trying to get to the NCAA tournament and you know how nerve-wracking it can be and you're trying to calm yourself down, you know, in the early innings to try to get into the flow of the game, I think everybody's nervous in that first inning. I don't care, you know, if you've been around, if you're a senior, you're just a little nervous because, you know, everything's on the line right there. So it's hard to calm down, even if you have a veteran coach like these two teams we just talked about that, you know, could get there. They do. But I still feel like you have to figure out a way to calm yourself down, because even if you had a great season, it may be different when you get to that championship.
Yeah. And I think especially in this league, you know, when we just talk about the landscape of the league as a whole, you know, Liberty is kind of in a unique boat. I think, you know, even if they don't win the championship, I think they're in the tournament field just based on the metrics. But, you know, so not that there isn't pressure with them if they make it to that championship game, but I think for these other five teams, they have to hoist that trophy on Saturday to have their name called. So I think just that extra level of pressure can either help you or hurt you, right? But I think that it makes it so much more exciting because, you know, you kind of go into the week thinking, you know, they probably look at it and think, man, it's going to be hard to beat Liberty, right? And it's going to be hard to be that one that gets the automatic bid. But, you know, it can definitely happen. And I think we have a few teams that are more than worthy of some really great places in the field and some great opportunities to pick up some wins that we've already had this year. I mean, Louisiana Tech has two top five wins on the year. Jacksonville State beat Mississippi State earlier this year. You know, you get a handful of other ones that, or even teams that have been very competitive with that upper echelon of teams. So, you know, obviously I would love for us to be a multi-bid league. That, you know, like you said, we always win, but we can win more if we get two teams in. So, yeah.
Yes, we can.
Well, it did happen a few years ago, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember that.
Yeah, we had teams. It was Middle Tennessee and Charlotte actually both made it to the regional finals of their, and Middle Tennessee came into the tournament as a 6 seed, won the tournament, and advanced to the regional final, had beaten Alabama once and had to beat them again. Unfortunately, couldn't get it done. And then, you know, Charlotte gets the at-large bid. They make it to the regional final against Duke and can't get it done. You know, you saw it again with Liberty last year. This has got to be the year, right? I keep telling everybody, you know, if it's Liberty, if it's whoever else, like, this has got to be the year the Conference USA breaks through into the supers, because you've had so many great teams in the last 3-4 years that have been right there. They've been
so close to that opportunity. But I think this is the year. I'm gonna put it out there. So
you know, you mentioned the pitching depth before. That's definitely key. But I think in the championship game, it's not just that. It's really about defense. I mean, you can get a hot lineup going and all that, but you can't make mistakes. We've seen it. If there's a critical mistake that's made defensively, you give the other team an opportunity. Generally, that's going to cost you. So, I mean, that's where you really have to be solid and, you know, focused on what you're doing defensively, and, you know, especially middle infielders. You can't, you know, just bobble a ball and give them, you know, an easy infield single out of something, or throw to the wrong base, or throw it away, or anything like that in the championship, because it really costs you.
Yeah, you nailed it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Joe, it's been a lovely conversation. We appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule to chat with us, dealing with some technical issues, giving us a phone call back. We made it. We appreciate it very much. You guys can tune in to the broadcast on CBS Sports Network with Joe Castellano and Kalen Arnold-Elliott on CBS Sports Network. Like we said, 12 o'clock Central Time on Saturday, May 10th. For all the marbles to determine who will be representing Conference USA in the NCAA tournament. So, Joe, thank you so much again. Good luck on the call this weekend. I know I'll be listening from home. Josh will probably
be right next to you.
Yeah, Josh will be right down the hall.
Yeah, we'll be asking Josh a lot of questions. And Sarah, thanks so much for having me. And it was a pleasure to talk to both of you.
All right. Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much to Joe Castellano for joining us to preview the 2025 CUSA Softball Championship this week. Like I said before, please tune in on ESPN Plus. Make sure you get your ESPN Plus subscriptions. Got to plug that again, like Sarah and I have done countless times. But you definitely don't want to miss out on any of the action this week. We start on Wednesday with Jack State and Sam Houston at noon Central, followed by La Tech New Mexico State at 2:30. Follow along all the action on our social media, on ESPN Plus, wherever you want to keep track of what should be an incredible championship. And as always, you can follow us at CUSA Insider Pod and find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and here in video form on YouTube. I'm Josh Jonas signing off.